I'd like to talk about what it takes to be a servant of God. My first point says, in order to be a Christian, you have to start your walk off with God somewhere. You cannot play football if you don't try it out. It is the same by becoming a Christian. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You can't become a Christian if you aren't willing to listen. You cannot be a part of God's family if you don't try to be a Christian. My second point is, you can't be a Christian without growing. Just making the team isn't enough in football or any sport. In order to play, you have to learn how to play. You have to condition and work out. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By becoming a Christian, you have to keep learning and growing every day in your walk with God. My final point is finishing strong. In football, just starting isn't enough. In order to be successful, you have to play all four quarters. You can't give up, and you have to be able to finish. 2 weeks ago, we lost to a team we shouldn't have gotten beat by because we played two quarters instead of four. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, it says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. It is important to finish your walk with God so you do not fall away. Being Christian is much more important than playing football. I want to challenge all of you guys to live your life as if you were in a game and doing everything you must do to win at the end.
Good evening. If there's one thing that you do not know about me, it's that I love football. And dare I say, I'm an Auburn fan, so War Eagle. But one of my favorite NFL players, his name is Eric Berry. Most of you probably know him. But he played at the University of Tennessee. He was drafted in 2010 by the Kansas City Chiefs, and he was drafted 5th overall. Throughout his NFL career, he's still playing today. He's battled many injuries. In his rookie year, he had a high ankle sprain, and he was out for a couple of weeks. I want to say six to eight weeks. It was a rough injury. And then he got back. There's a fan there. Sorry. And he got back and played good that year. And then the following year, he ended up tearing his ACL. And that was a rough injury. He bounced back from that, of course. But his toughest injury was one that he did not expect. On November 21st, 2014, a mass was discovered in Berry's chest. He was later diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. After a year of battling chemo and therapy, Berry made his return a year later, and he is a better football player than ever. As Christians, we face many problems in our lives. If you will, turn to James 1, verses 2 through 4. We'll be starting there first. And it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God uses our problems to help us in our journey to heaven. But there's a question we all may ask. How does God use our problems to help us? Point number one, God uses our problems to direct us. To direct someone means to lead them to a certain destination or a certain person. In this case, God is using our problems to direct us to heaven. Problems often point us in a new direction and motivate us to make a change. If you will, turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. We'll start with verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. This verse talks about the future God has for every man created on earth. Sometimes it takes something to be taken away from us in order for us to realize the value of our own lives or the thing that was taken away. Point number two, God uses our problems to inspect us. For example, when a health inspector checks a restaurant, he looks to see if the workers are violating the health code in any way. God will throw a trial at us to test us on our faith. When we don't like something that happens, we usually blame God. God's usually the first person we blame. And that's just a habit that every man and woman have. We may ask, why, God? Why did you do this to me? When we respond in this way, we fail our tests. God wants us to stay faithful through the good and bad things. If you will, turn to Isaiah 48, verse 10. It reads, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Tested you in the furnace of affliction. In this verse, God talks about our test. He said that he has tested us in the furnace of affliction. It is our duty to respond to our test in faith and worship. And we should not fail our test. We should pass our test. Point number three. God uses our problems to perfect us. Our difficulties in life mold our characters. Problems, when responded to correctly, are character builders. God cares about our characters more than he cares about our comfort. If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. It reads, therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. As Christians, our goal in life is to be as perfect as Jesus was. Nobody that has lived or ever will be as perfect as Jesus was. But it should be our main goal to strive just to be like Jesus. Whether we like what goes on in our lives or not, God has a reason behind everything. He works in mysterious ways. God is at work all the time in every person's life. Even though we don't recognize it, God is constantly doing work to help us improve as Christians. And like I said, it's our duty to respond in the correct way. It is way more easier to cooperate with God through both the good things and the bad things. If we do this, we will find ourselves sitting high in heaven for eternity. So I want to make a challenge to everyone here in this building, including myself. I challenge everybody to stay faithful to God through all of our difficulties. If something this week goes wrong, I encourage you all to stand strong in your faith, for God will be with you throughout the whole week and at all times. So if you have not been baptized tonight, there's a chance to tonight. If you're willing to give your life to Jesus, or if you need prayers from the church, would you come as we stand and as we sing?